listening to the World Soccer Talk podcast, the only podcast about watching soccer on TV and online. Welcome to episode 163. Coming up on this week's show, which soccer networks are showing what? CBS dives into Liga MX. How FIFA 20, Football Manager, and Sabutio are helping soccer fans cope. Winners and losers of the coronavirus suspending soccer leagues. Plus, we have letters from you, the listeners, in our mailbag section. I'm Christopher Harris, aka The Gaffer, alongside Kartik Krishnayar. Kartik, what a week it's been. It's a week ago we're on this podcast talking about the threat of leagues being suspended. We were talking about the possibility of the Premier League and Major League Soccer suspending the leagues. Little did we know, in looking ahead, was that every major soccer league, sports league, practically around the world has been suspended. The only two that I know of that are still playing are the Turkish Super League and the Australian A-League.
Yep.
And actually the W League, the Women's League, has the final this weekend. And that's it. Everything else has been suspended. Without going into, we're not going to make this a show about coronavirus. We want to focus it on watching soccer on television, and all the implications and ramifications and changes that have happened in the past week, and looking to the future at what might be happening. But this is crazy. It's just turned the whole world upside down.
Yeah, and the succession of leagues canceling and making decisions was rapid, and we couldn't keep our heads around it on Thursday and Friday after we recorded the show. And quite honestly, Chris, I mean, you got off Twitter for an hour, mm-hmm. and you missed something. You missed some league making some decision. But what's been interesting this week is that there's still been a lot of content for programs like ESPN FC and for programs like Guardian Football Weekly, because there and BBC Football Daily, because there's so much conversation about where do we go from here and what are the possibilities and what are the scenarios. And then UEFA, of course, on Tuesday, shelved Euro 2020, moved it to 2021, but still out of that meeting, I think very inconclusive. They did not give us a roadmap for the Champions League and Europa League finishing, and they did not give us any clarity on the finishing of the domestic leagues, besides saying they want them done by June 30th. I know that's because of number of player contracts. Let's just take Chelsea, for example. Both Olivier Giroud and Willian can walk on a free technically on July 1st. But who knows if there has to be some sort of revision to player contracts, because I think it's highly unrealistic to think you can finish the domestic club seasons and European club competitions by June 30th. I just don't think it's possible.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of reports in the media just in the last 24 hours about the possibility of playing behind closed doors, the possibility of the Italian FA chief saying that he thinks the season will be finished by the end of May. Lots of things being said, but we'll get to that in the news and TV news and streaming section, because there is a lot of developments in that area. But before we go to that, Kartik, not a lot of soccer to watch from this past week, but there have been games. I mean, there's been for me personally, I've watched more soccer this week from outside Europe and the United States than probably what I've ever done before. A healthy dose of soccer from watched the Liga MX, soccer from Argentina in the Copa de la Superliga, and the Turkish Super League. And just some general observations watching these matches. All of the ones I watched were played behind closed doors. Number one is that... even though these games had no fans in the stadium, number one is that the players didn't hold back at all. Even during these games, it was very physical. It was, both teams going at it. There was no kind of, okay, let's slow down. Let's just, there's no one watching, really, so let's kind of play half-hearted. There was none of that. The second thing is that even though there's no atmosphere in the stadium, it's the first time really, unless you've had a seat in the front row or first row of a soccer stadium, but it's the first time really that we, the soccer fans, have had a chance to listen to the soccer players on the pitch during a professional game. And just hearing, of course, yes, we know that they talk throughout the match in terms of, you know, helping each other out and all sorts of things they're saying in terms of, man on, etc. But it's really refreshing in a way to hear how vocal they are. But even in some games, I think it was the PSG game against Dortmund, a couple of weeks ago now. And after PSG scored one of the goals, I think some of the players were like, goal! They had a Spanish goal call. Goal! And that was really refreshing to hear. That's something you would never hear normally during a match. What about you, Kartik? Did you watch any of the matches behind closed doors? And did you have any interesting observations?
Yeah, Wolves Olympiacos was interesting. I mean, it was behind closed doors in a sense. There were actually, I think, about 40 Olympiacos fans allowed in and a handful of Wolves fans allowed in. But it was still behind closed doors. That was actually a very good match. And that was the final match in European club competition before everything got wound down. Chivas Monterrey, which we'll get into it in the news section with CVS, but that was a very interesting match to watch. I always like watching Monterrey. They're an open team. They play exciting football. Chivas has not been so good to watch the last few years, if you could watch them at all, right, in this country. At times you couldn't. But there wasn't much else I was able to watch. I did watch an awful lot of the of the series that were thrown on as replacements. I watched a good chunk of Liverpool Manchester United again on NBCSN. That was thrown on as a replacement for one of the live matches that was originally scheduled, Premier League matches. I did watch a dated studio show from earlier in the season with Rebecca and the two Robbies, Rebecca Lowe and the two Robbies, which had no applicability to today, but there's still always interesting things I pick up from the NBC studio. I watched a lot of ESPN FC. We can get into that later. That was all news related and rescheduling related. Soccer Box with Gary Neville, which is a show I've recommended previously on this podcast, Chris. NBC ran six different shows over the weekend and into Monday, and I taped them all. I've watched them all now, and I cannot recommend this enough. If you just like one, classic Premier League matches, and two, analytical discussions with former players, because I don't know that there's another show like it, at least in English, in football, and I'm very appreciative that NBC now is repeating all of the old Soccer Boxes. We get one every like 3 or 4 weeks on NBC now. It looks like they have the inventory of shows from Sky that they're just dropping on TV.
Yeah, this weekend, there's on Saturday. I don't have the times in front of me, but I do know that they're going to be showing a bunch of Soccer Boxes. I think it's on Saturday morning, I think pretty early, like 7 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, and actually we'll have a schedule posted at worldsoccertalk.com in the next 24 hours, which will have a preview of what's on this weekend, because there are a lot of games that are being played. And that's the strange thing, Kartik, is that as this pandemic spreads we're practicing, quarantining, social distancing, self-isolation, a lot of these terms that now just seem to be very natural and very common. A week ago, we'd probably think you were crazy if you were mentioning these words in just general discourse, is there are a lot of games being played. The one thing for me, though, too, I mean, I watched maybe 10 games or 12 games over this past week, all of them behind closed doors, is it's not the same. I mean, so the game I probably enjoyed the most, other than the Olympiacos-Wolves game, which was a really good back-and-forth game, was Galatasaray against Besiktas from the Turkish Super League. And fair play to be in sports, too. I mean, they had Phil Shane and Eric Krakauer doing the commentary, George Metellus in the studio. So they're very visible. They're working. They're producing these games. They're broadcasting these games as if it's just a normal day. This game was a 0-0 game, but it was an entertaining game. I enjoyed it. And Club Atlas against Toluca. I watched this one to do an extra with Nico Canto and Chris Whittingham in the English commentary. Enjoyed that one too. But overall, it's just not the same. It is... Without the fans, without the, the intensity, the excitement, it does have a huge impact. It makes it a completely different viewing experience. And it's surprising that when you don't have the fans in the stadium, how much of a difference it does make.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you had said this a week ago on this show, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago when we first were going through Serie A, playing completely behind closed doors. And I said, well, no, it's people will still watch it. It's still the same. I had a hard time, honestly, watching a few of these matches because of that. Chivas Monterrey in particular, because that match would normally be one where the crowd is very, very lively, very into it. Europa League matches, maybe, maybe not. Although Olympiacos always, Greek crowds are kind of crazy. So we missed out on that with that match. So yeah, I think unfortunately that's the case, Chris. It's also unfortunately something we're going to have to get used to because of, and we're going to get into this in the news section, but there are some leagues that are more reliant on TV money than on gate receipts. And then there's some other leagues that are the opposite. So the ones that are more reliant on TV money than gate receipts, I think are probably right now plotting a course where they can try and forge ahead and resume their seasons earlier in front of closed doors. And that would be most of the leagues we love in Europe. So, stay tuned. We might be seeing a lot of closed doors football in the next couple months.
Yeah, so let's move to that then, Kartik. Let's move to the TV streaming news, and let's start off with the first few items of some of the big changes that are happening, and which roll right into what you just said.
Yeah, so Euro 2020, as I'm sure everyone knows now, has been moved to the summer of 2021, June 11th to July 11th. The subsequent fallout is the women's Euros reportedly might be moved to 2022, to the summer of 2022. I'm also told, and this hasn't been widely reported, I don't believe, I'm also told that there was a consideration to move the Euros to January of 2021 to run alongside the African Cup of Nations and then to just have the major European leagues break then. Because they're already losing players to the AFCON, which they do every – this is a frequent complaint, right? Every other January, they lose players. So that was strongly considered because also I think nobody's talking about this, Chris, other than it seems like me. There will be a massive disruption to the calendar a couple of years down the road when we have a Winter World Cup in Qatar and the seasons – will not flow as they normally do, the European club season. So I think UEFA considered, well, maybe we just create using that precedent, create another break in the winter. They opted not to, but I think schedule disruption is something we're going to have to get used to in European leagues the next few years. It's the new normal between this and then the Qatar 2022 World Cup. So again, they considered moving it to the winter, the Euros. Copa America 2020 has been suspended. It will be moved to 2021. I'm actually not that disappointed by this because we just had a Copa in 2019. CONMEBOL is trying to shift Copa America to even years between World Cups, so the same years as Euros are normally scheduled. But personally, I think I would rather see a Copa in 2021 and then shift to 2024 rather than 19, 20, and then 4 years without a Copa America. So this might actually work out. South American qualifiers, obviously, are going to have to be rescheduled now. World Cup qualifiers. There were a number of World Cup qualifiers scheduled for June of 2021 in South America. Those are now going to be played supposedly this summer. Let's see. That depends on when we resume football.
Yeah, what a mess this is. I mean, and I'm not going to talk too much about the changes in terms of exact timing, just because this is all in flux. It's one of those things where, you know what I mean? This could all change again, depending on how long this goes on
for. Yeah, everything I just said, Chris, might a week from now we might be recording, and it's all irrelevant. It's all null and void. So,
right.
That's just what I just read. What I just said is the status as of the moment we're recording.
Yeah.
Thursday morning, US time.
So the other news, Kartik, is that today, when we're recording this on Thursday, is that the Premier League is having an emergency teleconference with the club owners, and they're talking about playing the rest of the season behind closed doors.
Yep.
Which we've already stated in terms of just the excitement level, which is a huge drop off, watching it behind closed doors. Part of the reason, though, for this, though, Kartik, is a report that just came out this morning from SportsPro. And it says that Sky and BT are threatening legal action against the Premier League to the tune of about $897 million if this season of the Premier League fails to finish due to the coronavirus. Obviously, Sky and BT, just as two examples here, have paid millions of dollars to have the rights to broadcast these games. By not broadcasting these games, it's hurting their pockets in terms of the revenue that they can generate from advertising and viewership, etc., and subscribers. So that's part of the reason I'm sure that the Premier League is talking about is saying, okay, well, what can we do to finish off this season, to figure out a way to play these games, get it over and done with, and then satisfy the Sky Sports and BT Sports of the world, and then move on from there, and then hope that everything is resolved. The funny thing, just one more thing to add on this, Kartik, is that West Ham United's vice chairman, Karen Brady, who's been very vocal this past couple of weeks, said if the fixtures could not be completed, the only fair solution would be to declare this season null and void. Which is funny just to say that, because if they decided to play the rest of the season behind closed doors, there's a threat that West Ham United could get relegated. If she calls it null and void, the season practically, okay, let's just cancel the season. We'll start up next season whenever. That keeps West Ham United in the Premier League.
I don't think the vast majority of people take anything she says or her bosses, Golden Sullivan, seriously. And let's keep in mind, Karen Brady and Golden Sullivan have an agenda. They have essentially conned their way into this Olympic Stadium, or London Stadium as it's called now. And the club faces a real crisis if they get relegated, because and I think we've talked about this on the show before, Chris, that's the club in England, or top flight club in England, with the worst scouting network, with the worst training infrastructure, and quite frankly with the most jaded supporters base because of their ownership, and among other issues. So I understand why she would push for that. I don't think anyone else is going to go for that. Here's what I wanted to chime in and say is that I have a couple of sources. The one good thing about everybody being down and in their homes is that I'm talking to more of my contacts in Europe more often now, Chris. And there seems to be a sense that if the Premier League and Football League don't get the seasons done, and I don't know what clubs that are in League One and League Two are thinking in terms of litigation, but that there was a proposal floated that the Premier League would just play with 22 clubs next year and take Leeds and West Brom, who are have put some distance between, they're the top two in the championship, between three through six, who would be in the playoffs. I have from a couple of sources that there would probably be litigation from the clubs that are in spots 3 to 6, or even spots 3 to 10, right? Even your club, Swansea, Cardiff, Millwall, they could all still push their way into those playoff spots. Actually, quite frankly, the way Millwall has been playing, there's a very good chance they'd end up in the top six. Same with Cardiff. So that's something that I think they're trying to avoid. So now, because of the television networks, which we knew was going to be an issue, and we'll get to that a little more on that in a bit, and then the potential of clubs that don't get promoted or don't have a chance to get promoted, more importantly, potentially suing. They're desperate to get the season done. But the Premier League, part of the reason the Premier League is so popular is the atmospheres in the grounds, right?
Yep.
This is, I think, a big part of why it's so popular around the world. And if you throw that product behind closed doors, and I think there are people who disagree with you and I, but there are also a lot of people who agree with you and me that this season, from a quality standpoint, the league hasn't been quite up to its usual level. You might expose all sorts of things to supporters. Or maybe people who are watching on television are just so happy to have football back, they won't notice the flaws.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm not behind this in terms of the Premier League finishing the season and playing it behind closed doors. Part of it is the medical reasons, Kartik. So, I mean, the NBA is talking about having some games behind closed doors and having all the players tested. And this is what the Premier League is looking at too, is that even though the players might be tested and tested, you mean negative, there's no guarantee that, you mean they would really have to live in isolation, really, in terms of making sure that they're not in contact with anyone else outside certain circles, that, you mean, someone's monitoring, making sure that they don't leave their hotel room or where. I don't know. To me, it's, to be frank, it feels like, same thing with the NBA too, and with the Premier League and other leagues. It's almost like lab rats. It's almost like it's they're kind of just focusing on the revenue, focusing on the money. And yes, we would like to see games being played. It's not going to be the same. I don't know. To me, I would just prefer the NBA, the Premier League, and other leagues just to take a break and say, okay, let's just take a break for however long this is going to be. And TV companies, Sky Sports, BT Sports, and others, just calm down. You mean this is really kind of a freak act of God that's happening right now. Let's not focus it on the money. Let's focus it on what's best for everyone. This is going to be such a mess, Kartik. But I wouldn't be surprised, though, if the Premier League says, okay, yeah, we're going to play games behind closed doors. We're going to test the players. No one's going to be in the stadium. If they do that, which sounds corny, but in the stadiums, if they had music piped in or kind of crowd noise piped into the stadium, actually might make it a little bit more tolerable in terms of watching it and a little bit more exciting. But still, this is a really one of a kind situation in terms of what's happening right now. Personally, I'd rather them just not play it at all. But we can definitely it will come back at some point. It's just I don't think right now is the right time. Although the Premier League, I wouldn't be surprised if they go ahead and do it. Now, Kartik, as far as some of the winners and losers from the coronavirus, if they can be winners and if they can be losers, there are some things that are having an impact. Some of the winners, one of the things I would say that in the past week, EA Sports, the FIFA video game, we've had Football Manager that's got a free trial for a 1 week free trial. We've had Orlando City retweeting people live streaming Sabutio. There's been a lot of soccer being played, and it's more, whether it's virtual or whether it's even kind of even table soccer games or whether it's strategy computer games, whatever it may be. That's definitely been a winner this past week. I've been surprised, though, Kartik, that we haven't heard any announcements about some of the video games being played on mainstream television, kind of the esports. And I'm sure they could do it in terms of having people in separate studios so that there's not crowds together in the same place. But that's one thing I've been surprised by that we haven't seen or heard about yet.
I think we probably will. I think that's inevitable. The longer so these leagues technically initially suspended until early April. Now we have USL, and we're going to talk about them in a minute. We're in the listener mailbag section. We're going to talk about USL, but they've now extended their suspension till mid-May. So I think what you're going to have is, as these suspensions, which is inevitable, right? I think we all know it's a 60 to 90 day thing now, that you're going to see some replacement programs spring up as there's more time to process this. And I think e-gaming is going to be a big one, and FIFA is going to be a big one. I've seen some Football Manager played online the last few days. I have to register a complaint. People are playing Football Manager in 3D, which I don't do. I still play the old 2D version with the circles running around. And in fact, when I mentioned that on Twitter, a lot of people were like, yeah, that's not Football Manager. If they want to play with those fancy graphics, just play FIFA. So some of us are still traditionalists when it comes to
old school. Even in the computer games. Another winner, of course, is going to be the streaming services. So whether it's Sling TV, Hulu, Fubo, CBS All Access, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, YouTube TV, Pluto TV, etc. I'm sure you're the same way as I am, Kartik. While there hasn't been as much soccer on as usual, I've been watching a lot of movies, a lot of series, a lot of other content, on-demand stuff, and that's definitely a big winner. The losers.
Same here. One quick point.
Sure.
I think what was really interesting was when CBS announced, and I know we're going to get to this a little later in the news section, but this, I think, fits into the streaming thing. When CBS announced the Chivas deal, there was so much more excitement about it than I think there normally would have been, because people are like, oh, CBS Sports is a mainstream app. I can just watch a game on there. And I don't think had that had been announced any other week, there would have been quite the excitement among fans about it. So that just lends itself to the fact that streaming is it now.
Absolutely. Yeah, and something like this, too, in terms of the really kind of the cord cutters, the number of cord cutters over the next month, probably those numbers will increase even more considerably, even more than they were in the past in terms of people getting just used to watching stuff on streaming. Some of the losers in this, the betting companies. I mean, most of sports have been obliterated in terms of the leagues being suspended. Not a lot of games to bet on. There has been a lot of interest in the Turkish Super League. It's on beIN Sports, practically because it's one of the few leagues that's still running. And I've noticed that on my Twitter feed, a lot of people asking questions about betting on Super League. Some of the other impacts. This is something I've thought about, Kartik, is that the long-term effects on attendance, even after all of this is over with the coronavirus. So at some point in time in the future, we don't know when that's going to be, but kind of a green light will go off where people say, okay, now it seems to be everything under control. Now it's time to go back and go back to your music concerts, go back to the nightclubs, the bars, the beaches, wherever it may be, and soccer games too. But I think there will be a tendency among some people, a lot of people actually, to hold off on that. And how long that will take before people say, okay, yep, everything's back to normal now. We can go out there and not have to worry about this. I don't know how long that'll take. So the long-term effects on attendance could have some big ramifications for a lot of sports leagues, for sure. The other thing, Kartik, is Major League Soccer. Thankfully, they've had all of these expansion fees coming into the organization, even in the terms of hundreds of millions of dollars. But you have to wonder, for a league that's so dependent on gate revenue, on ticket revenue, how long can the league run without the ticket revenue coming in before teams start going out of business or before teams start laying people off? And you look at clubs such as, Atlanta or Seattle with tremendous ticket revenue, they may be okay, but there might be some of the smaller clubs that definitely need help. I guess in some ways, though, Kartik, with having the kind of the single entity, this does help even the smaller clubs, say Colorado Rapids as one example, that may be hurting more in terms of the loss of revenue, but from a single entity, everyone's sharing that revenue pool together so that they can actually help each other out.
Yeah, this is true, but I have to say your second point that you made about the long-term effects of attendance, even after this is all over, as I said earlier, I'm having more conversations with what I would call sources or other reporters this week than I've had in ages, really, because people have time on their hands. And that is a ongoing concern. There is a feeling, and maybe this will stun some of the listeners, or maybe some of the listeners are in this camp, that the practice of social distancing or people becoming germophobes, mm-hmm. so to speak, might increase after this phenomenon lifts. So even if 90% of the people who were paying for tickets in the past go back to their old habits, 10% won't. Those 10% will then become television customers of the sport more than they are now, which helps the next TV rights cycles, but hurts attendance. So it would again play into the favor of those leagues, like the Premier League and others that are very TV driven, right? Mm-hmm. And will hurt those leagues that are much more dependent on gate receipts. So watch this space. I think that this is something that, particularly with our domestic leagues in the U.S., is going to be very damaging. I do not think it is realistic to think that 100% of the people who were previously attending MLS or USL matches or whatever, NISA, et cetera, are going to come back after this. There are people who are just naturally going to be hesitant and be germophobes, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, the other thing too for Major League Soccer is that this is a nightmare scenario. This is the worst possible scenario of what's been going on with the season. Just, I mean, 2 weeks old, now being suspended for goodness knows how long. It could be until, who knows, the end of the year. It could be played behind closed doors. And this is really what I'm talking about in terms of the nightmare scenario, more so about the TV revenue and the TV rights. So the current deal ends in 2022. Discussions have already started for the next TV deal. So it's likely that 2021 is when the bidding process will, maybe early 2022, the process will start up. Is that these TV revenue, these TV companies, these streaming companies are going to be looking at figures, they're going to be looking at how many people are tuning in to watch Major League Soccer. And if the 2020 season is practically null and void and I mean, just isn't played, or it's played behind closed doors and that has an impact on the viewing figures, that's not going to put Major League Soccer in a strong position during those negotiations and bidding with these different streaming companies. Streaming is good in terms of long-term future for this league, but the TV side of things is where a lot of the money is coming from. So, yeah, Major League Soccer could be one of the big losers in this one, perhaps more than anyone else in terms of just the timing of all of this. The Premier League, too. I mean, Premier League's coming up for a new TV rights deal renewal in 2022 also, so that's going to have big ramifications on them.
But there's one other point here, Chris, though, unfortunately, when you talk about TV for MLS. So the resumption of the season might coincide with now a longer run where MLS has to compete with the NBA and NHL domestically and compete with the Premier League and Bundesliga and Serie A. And the Champions League, actually, which we haven't talked about yet, Champions League and Europa League from abroad. This could really hurt MLS on television also for this specific season with the resumptions, because there is now a good chance that Major League Soccer will not have a respite, that they will not have a period of time when they are not competing domestically against either the NBA or college football / the NFL. And then they're going to be competing with the Premier League. Let's just take the Premier League as an example, because that's the strongest European league on television, for probably maybe the entire time they play this season, with the exception of a month, because some of the Premier League proposals have involved having a shortened break between the two seasons, right? Mm-hmm. And just resuming pretty quickly, having a transfer window, a shortened transfer window, and then resuming. So I think this is going to be particularly challenging for MLS, and we're going to see you know, there have been so many theories, and we talked about it on the show since we changed the format a couple of years ago about whether MLS suffers because of competition from NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and American football, and then whether it's suffering because of competition from other European football leagues. We might get the whole whammy this season and see how strong MLS is as a standalone property when everything else, when there's always something else going on in either the football world or in the sports world.
Yeah, one more thing too about this, Kartik, is that with Euro 2020 being postponed until next summer, is that will have an impact on Major League Soccer TV ratings this year if MLS does come back. You mean, and say a month from now they decide to go ahead and start playing games behind closed doors, is I'm sure Major League Soccer was banking on some of these games being double headers. So you'd have a Euro 2020 game that may have been on ABC, maybe say France against Germany or something like that in the latter rounds of the tournament, followed immediately with a MLS game on that same network. And if that Euro 2020 lead-in is not there any longer, MLS, that game has to survive by itself.
Or even the reverse. So there was a situation in 2008 where DC United played the Galaxy. And I remember Marcelo Gallardo, who's become a great manager, right, at River Plate, mm-hmm. Was the big star of this game. They played that on ABC leading into the Euro final between Spain and Germany. And I remember it got a 1.2 rating, a really, really good number. And we're talking about 2008, which is a year before Seattle joined the league and kind of the league transformed. I mean, Beckham was already here. but the league really transformed the year Seattle moved from USL to MLS. So there have been these spikes in ratings when they've been paired with the Euros, and I think we saw it on ESPN also, actually, in 2016. Now in 2020, you have both MLS and the Euros going back to ABC in some form. The Euros are not going back to ABC in some form anymore in 2020, mm-hmm. right? It'll be 2021. But there was that potential for a couple of really, really good doubleheaders, which would record big numbers for MLS. So that also hurts them, although it does probably help them in the macro sense that they're not competing with the Euros anymore this summer. Or with Copa America, but they'll be competing with other things, as we just talked about.
So one more loser for me, and that is, before I turn it over to you, Kartik, is that I think The Athletic is going to be one of the big losers in this one. This is a subscription service behind a paywall that really focuses on sports. And if you think about subscribing to Athletic, how much news and content is actually going to be behind there? Focus on your sports team or your sports league that you're interested in. Most of the news at this point is really business news. It's about deals being done, is about negotiations, and yes, The Athletic would have some coverage of that, but I would expect really The Athletic to be hit big time by this all these developments with no sports going on. As far as World Soccer Talk, personally, Kartik, we've gone ahead. We've committed to going ahead and doing this podcast on a weekly basis. There's still plenty to talk about. We are still watching soccer. We are still talking about developments about the streaming side and watching it on apps, etc. The other thing too with the website is that we've removed all advertising from the website. We have no paywalls on the website. We have tips and help in terms of the coronavirus, the five things to do to make sure to protect yourself to reduce the threat of coronavirus. We've done that too. We're planning on continuing to do the Heart of the Game podcast series with interviews with a lot of the top broadcasters. We were scheduled to do an interview with Ian Joy last week, but we had to postpone that due to everything that was going on. But so we're fully committed. We're still going to be here. We're going to be talking each week. We're going to be posting articles on the website. And the website, we have the TV schedules of all the games that are on, as well as this weekend, too, a bunch of reruns of some of the games, as well as the latest news and coverage about the world of soccer. But Kartik, any other losers in all of this scenario?
Yeah, so there's the potential of the Bundesliga being a big loser. Remember, most Bundesliga clubs are member-owned, supporter-owned, and their revenue model is heavily dependent on because they keep ticket prices low. Remember, for members, membership. I shouldn't even call them ticket prices. Membership prices low for members. They are heavily dependent on television revenue. So there's now been a lot of talk this week that the Bundesliga needs to get the season resumed, and they have to play in front of closed doors, and they have to fulfill their obligations to their television, media partners, television partners, as we talked about in England, the Premier League feeling like they need to do. Otherwise, Bundesliga clubs could. This seems a doomsday scenario, but just think about the structure of the clubs versus the structure of the clubs in other top European leagues. Bundesliga clubs could fail. They could go out of business because they're so dependent on that revenue now. Now, they have some sponsorship revenue as well. In the case of Bayern Munich, they bring in more sponsorship revenue than any club in England, in English football. But most German clubs don't. So this is a probably a bigger crisis for them than for the other four top of the big five European leagues, of those leagues. This is probably a bigger crisis for the Bundesliga. And that's why, Chris, I'm a little concerned that they may jump the gun and force closed-door matches there, even maybe before they do in England.
Interesting. All right, Kartik, and then the next news item, PSG doing some business.
Yeah, so PSG is going to get they're going to be the next club, and it'll be next season. And again, we don't know when next season is going to start. We don't know when it's going to end. But the 2020-21 season of PSG will get the Amazon Prime documentary treatment, the all-or-nothing treatment, that currently this season Tottenham are being filmed. Spurs are being filmed. This was part of maybe what we're going to see about Pochettino out, Mourinho in, with cameras behind closed doors for that documentary. Obviously, this is just the latest in the series. A number of American professional sports teams have been covered, as have Manchester City and Leeds United and Borussia Dortmund, in world football.
All right, next up is, and this is a tip from Paul Scanlon. You said go ahead and talk about what TV networks are showing what soccer. And just a quick rundown here. So NBCSN has coverage, reruns really, what it is, this weekend. So, for example, this Sunday they're having a triple header. They're having the Manchester Derby, I think from 2017 through to 2018. So they have three games on, I think from 6 a.m. Eastern time, all the way through till, I think, 2 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. So the Manchester Derbies, they've got reruns of those. On the Saturday morning, they've got Premier League Goals of the Season, from the 2010 season all the way through to the 2017 season. 7 hours of Premier League Goals of the Season, which I always enjoy watching those. Those are really always exciting to see. Also, in addition to that, too, every day, weekdays, they have Sky Sports News that they simulcast, and that has been extended to between 4 to 6 hours each day. Wasn't that long ago that it just had 1 hour a day. Now we're up to 4 to 6 hours there.
Speaking of those goals of the season, a little pro tip here. I have them all. I own them all via Apple TV. So everything from the 10-11 season through the 16-17 season is available on Apple TV. Not just goals of the season, but the summary of the season. And then there's one other program. The Premier League 20th anniversary commemoration special. I don't think they did a 25th anniversary one, but the 20th anniversary one is available on Apple TV. I bought them all. So I can binge on them anytime, but I do suggest if you don't own those, to watch on NBC. You'll be surprised. You'll say, hey, I might want to watch this for 5 minutes, and then you get sucked in. And then you're like, oh, I remember that. I remember when Kasami from Fulham had that belter in 2013. And then you get sucked into these programs. So I highly recommend those. Those are always a lot of fun. As I said, you can buy them through Apple TV. Maybe you can buy them through Amazon and other services as well, but definitely through Apple. I own them all through Apple.
So the Turkish Super League, if you haven't watched it before, it's actually really entertaining. There's a lot of former players that used to play in the Premier League that play in Turkey. In addition to other stars from around the European continent, the Galatasaray game I watched last weekend had several Dutch players. It's an entertaining league. It's very physical. It's very similar to the Premier League in terms of the style and the physicality and just the non-stop attack. Defensively, not the greatest league by any means, but it's entertaining. And this weekend on beIN Sports and beIN Sports Connect, there's about 4 to 5 games scheduled to be played, to be shown behind closed doors, but still some good football there to check out. ESPN, as Kartik would know better than anyone, ESPN has ESPN Plus has their daily ESPN FC show that airs nightly with discussion and analysis of everything that's going on in the world of soccer. And then also this weekend in the early morning hours, we have the A-League from Australia, which is beIN played behind closed doors. And then I think it's Saturday night, or it depends how you look at it, but Saturday night at 12:30 a.m. Eastern time is the grand final between Melbourne City and Sydney FC in the Women's League. So definitely some good content there if you have ESPN Plus. Fanatis is showing Real Madrid TV and Sevilla TV. They have the exclusives on those. In addition to beIN Sports, so if you want to get watch the Turkish Super League and watch Real Madrid TV and Sevilla TV and TYC Sports, etc., that's only $7.99 a month. Good deal there. Fox, Kartik, out of everyone, Fox is the one that has the least amount of programming on for soccer fans. What they did about a week ago, they announced that they were shutting down the production studios at Fox. So what it meant was that last weekend there were games being played. There were games being played in Liga MX, as one example, that Fox had the rights to. There was a Club Tijuana game that was, I think, playing at home. There was a Santos Laguna game that was being played at home. So those two games, even though Fox had the rights to those games, they didn't show them because they didn't have any commentators that could get into the studio to go ahead and actually do that. The production studios were completely shut down. So as a result, I think the both of those games, I mean, I think one of the games was on ESPN Deportes, and I think the other game, actually maybe both of them are on ESPN Deportes. But as far as what they're showing, most of it is reruns. They have reruns of NASCAR, and I guess, I don't know, I don't even watch a lot of this stuff, but stuff that's not soccer, but they do have some soccer. So actually Daytona 500, I think they have too. But the stuff that they do have of soccer in the next coming days, they are showing lots of highlights of the U.S. women's national team. So they're going to be showing the 2015 FIFA World Cup final between USA and Japan, as well as I think the women's Olympic qualifying game, the final of that game. It's interesting that they're not showing, as far as I can look at in terms of the programming calendars or schedules, they're not showing any U.S. men's national team games on reruns. They're just showing the women, which says a lot.
They showed the David Beckham documentary.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, twice this past week, which I think is an MLS. It's actually an MLS production. Right, it's not not an independent production, but yeah. So they've shown that. Yeah, that's an interesting point about the U.S. men's national team. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, they have a library of games they can tap into from the men's national team, but I think again, there's such a jaded supporters base. Although again, there are games that they showed on Fox Air or on Fox Soccer back in the day that would remind fans of better days in the national team program that they could show. I mean, I remember, for example, the U.S. going to Poland, who was very good at the time, or was still very good, but going and winning a friendly 3-0, that was on Fox. Mm-hmm. That would be a game I would show again. That was from 2008. There were several games that were on Fox where the U.S. had had good results and they might want to show again. I want to say maybe even some of the qualifiers from the 2014 cycle were on Fox where the U.S. had a good result.
And last but not least, in terms of what channels are showing what, and Bleacher Report Live, so BR Live, is continuing to show live feeds of LFC TV, so Liverpool's club channel, MU TV, Arsenal TV, and Spurs TV, as well as a lot of on-demand classic Champions League games, including Liverpool's comeback against Barcelona in the 2019 UEFA Champions League semi-final. So a lot of good on-demand content there. And Kartik, last news item before we move on to TV ratings, and that's Chivas TV. So this was a shocker. So this is an article that we had exclusively reported on worldsoccertalk.com, and that was last Saturday, was that Chivas Guadalajara, a club that doesn't have a broadcaster on U.S. television in the United States. What they've done, they have their own Chivas TV. It's been since, I think, July of 2018 that they've tried to get fans to watch games on Chivas TV for the home games. They're not on TV like all the other big clubs are, Club America, etc. But what Chivas TV did last weekend, or Chivas did last weekend, for the game against Monterrey, one time only, they went out to each of the major sports broadcasters in the United States and said, hey, we've got this game. We're playing Monterrey tonight. We own the rights to this game. We will use our own in-house commentators. And if you guys want to go ahead and show this game, go at it. And this game was interesting, too. I watched it. Again, behind closed doors. Wasn't that exciting, unfortunately. Chivas, not the greatest team anymore in Liga MX. But it ended up being on, let me see, figure out which channels it was on. It was on Fox Deportes. It was on ESPN Deportes. It was on where else? CBS. CBS Sports app had it on. Even the Fubo Sports Network had it on. Tudo NA had it on. So there's five broadcasters. There might have been even more than that.
I think it was on Galavision or Unimas also.
Okay.
On one of them.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too. But I mean, CBS especially, you would think that CBS would be like, thanks for the offer, but no, it's okay. But CBS said, yeah, we'll go ahead and show this game through the CBS Sports app. And viewing figures, we don't know what the viewing figures are for this one yet in terms of across all those five major networks. But it was an interesting ploy because I'm sure Chivas is probably trying to test the waters, saying, okay, hey, let's have our game. Let's give it to the TV providers, and let's see what happens. See if we get one of them to say, yep, we'd like to go ahead and get the rights to the home games moving forward. We'd love to partner with you. Or maybe we'll spread this across many networks and do a partnership deal. But yeah, that was interesting. CBS showing Chivas against Monterrey. And then the TV ratings, Kartik. So for this past week, from the world of soccer behind closed doors, we did have some big numbers. So Club America against Cruz Azul on Unimas and Tudo NA on Sunday, 1.1 million people watched this game. So it just goes to show, behind closed doors, people will still tune in. I mean, it's Club America, so it's massive.
And Cruz Azul, it's a derby.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, Liga MX numbers in general are huge. Club Lyon against Pumas was 1 million viewers on Univision and Tudo NA on Saturday. So two big games, the two biggest games of the weekend, over 1 million viewers for both of those games. And and actually the Chivas against Monterrey game that we mentioned just a minute ago, on the Tudo NA number, that was 415,000 viewers on that one. So if you take the four other broadcasters and combine those numbers, maybe that was closer to 1 million.
Yeah,
too.
I think there has to have been cannibalism there, because I thought, oh, that's going to be a huge number because Chivas is back on American television. But because five or six broadcasters broadcasting the match, I think it might be 1.1 million also. And remember, they were playing Monterrey. They weren't playing they were playing the Continental Champions.
Yeah.
A club that, let's not forget, took Liverpool to the brink in the World Club Championship. So
yeah.
For those who may not watch Liga MX regularly, there are some high-quality teams, Monterrey being at the top of that list.
Absolutely. Listener mailbag, we've got a few items that came in this week. First up is from Taylor Kimpton. Taylor says, and this is probably aimed at you, Kartik, more than
yes.
me, but forget about MLS. The USL is going to crash and burn at this rate. How can these small teams survive without game revenue as the season just started? That's a lot behind the scenes staff that might not get paid, let alone the players and coaches.
Yeah, Taylor, you're 100% correct. In fact, as I said, I've spent more time on the phone this week than in a while with sources. And there are, and I don't want to sound an alarmist, there are teams in that league that literally will not be able to keep the lights on. And now with the stoppage in USL is extended through at least mid-May, they need their ticket revenue. They need to reschedule as many home matches for some of these clubs as possible. There are other clubs where their ownership was already kind of hanging by a thread coming into this season who may just shudder after this. And I even heard from someone speculation that there is a club in the USL Championship that may not want the season to resume at all because of their liabilities, etc. I'm not sure I put that much stock into that, but that's the situation in that league. It's going to be dire, unfortunately, the longer this goes on. I give USL a lot of credit, and I want to say this again on this show. I said it on Twitter. I give Jake Edwards and Alec Papadakis a lot of credit because – unlike MLS and unlike some of these first divisions in Europe where we're saying, oh, yeah, the Bundesliga might have all kinds of trouble, the Premier League. For the USL, it's literally life or death. I think there was a lot of hesitancy to take the steps they took because financially so many of those teams need this revenue And if they don't have a full 30-plus match season with something like 14 to 16 home dates for each team, revenue-wise, they're not going to be able to justify keeping staff. They're not going to be able to justify continuing to pay players for these stoppages, et cetera. So I give the league a lot of credit because they made the prudent public health decision and the decision that was in the public interest, even if it wasn't in their league and their member teams' financial interests. But, yeah, it's going to be rough for USL, to say the least.
Yeah, and I mean, you could say that across many different leagues around the world too. So, I mean, you look at England, you look at the League One clubs, League Two clubs,
same thing.
Yeah, the conference clubs, etc. Next up is John Average Geek, and John says, "Love the last show on the promotion relegation media market. Funny, nobody says anything about market size for college football. SEC football is not in LA or New York, but commands big dollars."
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, I don't think of the Columbus, Georgia TV market where Auburn is, Columbus, Phoenix City, as a Auburn, obviously on the Alabama side of the border, but as a huge TV market, right? I don't think of Oxford, Mississippi, although I guess that might be connected to Memphis, and then Atlanta obviously has a lot of SEC support. But yeah, the conference is entirely kind of limited to smaller TV markets, plus Atlanta and Nashville when you think about it. So that's a great point. So these teams, they command such a high premium on U.S. television, and they are in the kinds of markets where, in many cases, we wouldn't even have Division III or Division IV teams in the U.S. So that's a fantastic point, John. Thank you.
And last but not least, Raymond Orozco says, "How come the American media isn't more critical of Major League Soccer and its Super League status in the region? Could you imagine what type of articles Grant Wall would be writing about the fairness of a North American Super League if the shoe was on the other foot and it was in Mexico that partnered up with Canada, one of the strongest economies in the region outside of the United States, to help maintain its advantage over U.S. soccer?" So something to think about.
Yeah, there. Something to definitely ponder.
All right. Well, we want you to have your say. You can always reach us via email through web@worldsoccertalk.com, as well as facebook.com/worldsoccertalk, and on Twitter @worldsoccertalk. Plus, of course, you can post your comments on worldsoccertalk.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions about streaming or watching soccer on television, or any thoughts about some of the topics we discussed today, or some ideas for other topics. We also want to hear from you, too, in terms of what you've been watching, how this is impacting your viewing experience. What have you been catching up on? Been watching, I don't know, PBS or documentaries or playing video games or whatever it may be. Just let us know. Definitely keep in touch. We'll continue to do this podcast every week. Still a lot to talk about and a lot to look forward to, despite what everything's going on. So thank you for listening. You can get a new episode of the World Soccer Talk podcast every Thursday on practically every podcast player out there, including Alexa and including Google Home. So all you have to do is just tell Google to go ahead and play the World Soccer Talk podcast. And Alexa, if you just tell Alexa to go ahead and play World Soccer Talk, it will queue up the latest episode for you to listen to, whether you're in the kitchen, living room, bedroom, or wherever you have those devices. And if you like the show, share it with your friends on social media and give us a review on iTunes. And Kartik, heading into another week of some soccer from around the world, what are you going to be doing, first of all, but then what should listeners do?
Well, I haven't really mapped out my weekend yet. I mean, I'm trying to. I mean, for me, this has been like an international break.
Yeah.
So I've been watching movies and catching up on a lot of reading. Have been having some trouble with streaming because the internet seems to be slower than usual. But trying to stream stuff. I think it's really going to hit me this weekend because I get through the one weekend without football. No offense to people. I know some people think that this is crazy. Most people don't think I'm crazy, but a lot of some do. When I say this, I just generally take the international breaks off, maybe watch one or two games, and I'm just not that interested in international football outside of big tournaments, honestly. But once, but a second weekend without major club football from Europe or MLS or USL, and then a first weekend without Liga MX, I don't know what I'm going to do, quite frankly. I mean, I might be going back and watching old games, etc.
Yeah, so. For me, it's catching up on things I usually don't get to do. So, for example, I've got a video, it's a short video, but it's a behind the scenes of the Turner Studios where they broadcast the UEFA Champions League, and I need to go ahead and edit that and then push that up onto YouTube. So to give people an idea of what it looks like behind the scenes, because I think it's really interesting. I did an interview a couple of weeks ago that I have recorded with Phil Shane from beIN Sports. This is before coronavirus, but I need to transcribe that and put that together. So a lot of it is, for me, is catch up work, getting a lot more content out there for the listeners and the viewers and readers out there, just to keep them informed and educated about what's going on in the world of soccer. And Kartik, looking ahead to next week, wherever you are, no matter what league or club you support, what should they do?
Enjoy your football.